All right. So let's talk about the power of thanksgiving, the power that is released as we start to become grateful people. Turn to Romans, and this is such a helpful passage because it really reveals a key to us. How many know there's keys that are in the Bible? And I'm going to show you one key right now. It's so good, and it's right there. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And let's look at verse 20. Romans chapter 4, verse 20. Now let me tell you what he's talking about. This is talking about Abraham. Everybody say Abraham. Abraham, or he, verse 20, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith. Now here's the key. Giving glory to God. Everybody say giving glory to God. That's how he was strengthened in faith. He got strengthened. It didn't happen overnight. It was a process. That's what strengthened. He was strengthened. It was a process. Didn't happen immediately, but he became strong in God. Here's how he did it: by giving glory to God. Now you know the story. You remember, Abraham wasn't always strong concerning the promise of God, was he? Sarah wasn't always strong concerning the promise of God, was she? Remember Sarah? Sarah laughed at God. Remember this? Sarah laughed at God. And then Sarah said, I didn't do anything. God said, you laughed at me. She said, no, I didn't laugh at you. God said, you did too. How many know God really knows what's going on? And watch this. And they were so unsure of the promise. So unsure of the promise of God that Sarah comes up with this plan that she's going to allow one of her servants to sleep with her husband. You know what I mean? He says yes, and boom, they have a baby. How many know that wasn't God's plan? That's not what God said. No, you don't know, you guys. But here's what we can do. Many times, in the process of time, so there's this process. Everybody say process. And so God promises you something, and between when he promises you something and when you get it, there's this testing of your faith. And many people in that testing time, that's the reason they don't see the promises of God, doesn't have to do with the fact that God doesn't want that to happen in their life. But what they do is they sabotage the will of God. They sabotage the will of God. And they do it by complaining and murmuring. You know what? It doesn't happen overnight. You know what? We live, and I've taught you this before, we live such a, I want it, and I want it now society. We're just used to it. You know what I mean? And we order it in window one. We want it. We pick it up in window two. Literally, you know what? A minute and a half later. You know, some of these places, they even got this clock running that you can see how fast they give you your order. You know what I mean? Doesn't taste awful, but at least you got it fast, right? Right? And listen, and we take that same mentality into our Christianity. And so we'll say like, oh, you know, that trial, that testing of your faith, in that process, we'll back off, we will sabotage the blessings of God. We'll say stuff like, it's never going to happen. Well, why do you think it's never going to happen? Because it didn't happen in 3 days. Listen, just because it didn't happen in 3 days doesn't mean it's not going to happen. Just because the South Sanctuary, it took us over 2 years to raise the money and to build it, didn't mean it wasn't going to happen. Amen? Amen. So you say, well, it's never going to happen. You know what? It's taking too long. Many people say, you know, I probably didn't even hear God, right? You know what I mean? So you start to question. That's what Sarah maybe God didn't want us to do it this way. And so you get in there and you start to manipulate what God wants to do. Hello. But but let's get back to the key, which is in verse 20. And strengthened in faith, he got strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, how does Abraham become so strong that the Bible says he was fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to, fully convinced. Let me explain this to you. Abraham was so strong in faith. The Bible says that God tested Abraham. And let me tell you, he passed that test. Remember after when he had Isaac? And the Bible says that God tested him. Here's what he did. He says, here's what I want you to do, Abraham. I want you to kill your son, like he doesn't know, your only son. And here's how well he passed it. The Bible says, Abraham got up early the next morning. And he's understand what God called him to do. He called him to not only sacrifice his son, but it was a, you know what kind of offering it was? It was a burnt offering. And here's what he told the guys that went with him, the servants, because they went with him a certain place, and then they stopped at this place, and they said, well, you guys don't need to go on. We'll be back. Well, you know what? How in the world are they going to be back if he's going to kill them? And then if he's going to burn them? Well, watch this. It's not up to Abraham to figure all that out. Right. How many of God raised somebody from the dead, he can figure out how to restore, you know what I mean, somebody's life, even if they're burnt.
That's right.
And watch this. And Abraham is taking the knife, and he's going to thrust his son with it.
That's right.
And then he's already got him on the burnt offering. He's already got all this stuff there. He's going to torch it and burn him. Now, listen, he's not going to do that thinking he's not a father of many nations. He's thinking, all I'm going to do is be obedient to God. God told me, you know what, that from this seed, that all the nations were going to be blessed. And that's what's going to happen. Wow. How many know that's a long way away from having, you know what, relationships with your, you know what, with one of your maids, you know what I mean, that your wife shoves in your room.
Yes.
I mean, that's a long distance. How did that happen? Well, the Bible tells us how it happened. It happened, he was strengthened in his faith by giving glory to God. Mm-hmm. Now, when you first read that, when I first read it, I was like, giving glory to God, okay, let me go deeper. Let me, because I'm kind of not catching that, because I know there's something deep there. So I thought there was going to be something significant there. So I go to the Hebrew, and I look it up, and many times, not all the time, but sometimes you go to a Hebrew word, and it'll just like go, whoa, that's so awesome. Well, I looked this one up, and I didn't go, whoa, that's so awesome. Here's what I said, whoa, that didn't even make any sense. Because when you look at the Hebrew word, what glory means is treasure. What glory means is abundance. And at first glance, that word didn't bring more depth. It just brought more confusion to me. Because think about it. Giving, he was strengthened in faith, giving treasure to God. Giving abundance to God. And I'm thinking, what is he saying there? And then I read giving honor to God. And now all of a sudden the treasure and the abundance made sense. You know how he's giving glory to God? He's saying, God, you can do this. You can do this. You can, you know what he's really doing? He's really saying this. Watch this. Before any of it's done, he's saying, God, thank you. Thank you. She's not pregnant yet, but thank you. You know what I mean? You know what? I mean, I don't know if they had a Babies R Us, but you know what? You could have gone to Babies R Us back. Actually, they didn't have Babies R Us. I know that. But if they had Babies R Us, you could have walked in there and you could have said, Abraham, you know what? He's going up in the dive, up and down the aisles, getting, you know, binkies and you know what I mean? It's like, this guy's crazy. No, 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 no. Thank God. He's giving glory. He's attributing. We used to sing a song, you know what, in my old Pentecostal church. And we used to sing this song, ascribe to the Lord. You know what? Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. And we're singing, you know, ascribe to the Lord. don't even know what it means. Do you know what ascribe to the Lord means? It means you're accrediting that God is glorious and strong. Yes. That is exactly what Abraham did. He started, at some point in time, he started saying, oh, God's powerful enough to do this. God is, I don't have to worry about it. There is more, that word, abundance. Everybody say abundance. There's more abundance in God's power and authority and ability to do this than in my old non-ability to make it happen. He's focusing on God's ability. That's why the Bible says he's giving glory to him. And when you translate it, it says he gives abundance to him. He is ascribing that God's power is more than enough to be able to empower him to impregnate his wife, even at 100 years old. That's what he's doing. What's that? Thanksgiving. He's giving God thanks. God, you can do it. Thank you, God. Thank you for doing this. Can I tell you what? You have dreams. You have visions. You have, for instance, maybe your marriage isn't what you want it to be. Maybe your finances. Maybe you're in debt. You know what? Maybe you've gone through a struggle this last year. And I'm not talking about a little struggle. I'm talking about a major struggle in your life. And you're like, oh, just not, you know what I mean? Here, start doing this. Start ascribing to the Lord. Start giving God praise. Start giving him treasure. Start ascribing to God that he is powerful enough to get it done. And when you start doing that, here's how that's going to sound. God, thank you for my marriage. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Yeah, but they're not acting. Whoa. I love what I heard Creflo Dollar used to say to one of his daughters. He used to say, hey, or many of his children, he used to say this, hey, they would not be acting right. And it'd say to them, hey, that's not who you are. See, what's he doing? He's recognizing who they really are called to be. Sometimes we don't ascribe to the Lord glory, and it hurts us because, let me tell you what, God wants to show up big for you in your life. So what you need to do is just start ascribing to the Lord. God, you are ascribed. I see you as all-powerful. And I see he's all powerful. Listen, you're completely, God, you're completely full of abundance. Yes. Amen. And you know God's on your side, right? See, when Abraham started to say this, what's he doing? He's watering that seed. He's watering that seed of hope. He's watering that seed of dreams, that vision, and he's watering. At some point in time, he wasn't watering it. Maybe in your life, it's not that God doesn't want those things to come up about in your life, but you're not watering those seeds. And you say, oh, I'm not watering those seeds because nothing's happening. Wait a minute. Maybe nothing's happening because you're not watering the seed. You're not ascribing to the Lord. You're not giving him glory. You're not saying, God, no, you can do this. You are more powerful. You are more sufficient than my insufficiency. Amen. And that's what he did. And at some point in time, that's why he went from unbelief to belief. Because at some point in time, he just started saying, God, I give you glory. I give you glory. How is he giving you glory? You're saying, God, you can do it. No, not only you can do it, I thank you because it's going to get done. And how many know God loves that? God loves that. A couple of scriptures I want you to look at real quick. Look at the same verse. Actually, show me the verses starting with 19 through 25. We're going to read this in the Message Bible. I have it up on the screen for you so that you can read it. Look at this, 19 through 25. Abraham didn't focus on his own importance. Impotence, thank you. Or how he couldn't read very good. Anyway, go move it on. And say, it's hopeless. This 100-year-old body could never father a child, nor did he survey Sarah's decades of infertility. He didn't even, her decade, she hadn't been fertile for years. Watch this. He didn't tiptoe around God's promises, asking cautiously, skeptical questions. He plunged into the promise. Everybody say plunged into the promise. And came up strong, ready for God, sure that God would make good on what he said. See, what's he doing? Thank you, God, it's going to happen. Thank you, God, it's going to happen. Thank you, God, it's going to happen. And he's watering that seed and watering. And at some point, I don't know whether it was, you know what, 1 day, 2 day, 3 day, 4 day, 8 days. At some point in time, well, you know what happened? It became where it was like, oh, this is going to happen for sure. It wasn't the Bible says, fully convinced. Samuel, look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 33. Look at this. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and the man and a man of war from his and a man of war from his youth." Next verse. But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when the lion or the bear came and took the lamb out of the stock, out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by the beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God." What's he saying? He's saying, listen. Let me tell you. See, Saul is saying, you know what? Saul's arguing against David. Saul's saying, "David, you can't do this." David's saying, "Let me tell you what, I can do this. And let me tell you why I can. Because let me tell you what, God is going to make it happen. He's been with me before, and he's going to make it happen again." For 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Look at this. Paul knows the same thing. Watch this. Of such one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my what? Infirmities. Paul's saying, listen, I'm not going to boast in how great I am. Here's what I'm going to boast in. I'm going to boast in my infirmities. Now, you and I are just like, what? What's going on there? Why is he doing that? Here's why. Listen, because he is giving thanks to God. God is the one who's going to do it. Look at this. Next verse. Or look what he said. Or look at verses 9. Look at verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient." My grace. Ever say my grace? That's how God's responding to Paul. He's saying, "Hey, I'm sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in what? In weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in what? My infirmities." Why? That the what? Power of Christ. What? Do you see what's going on? See, here's what we do. We look at our infirmities. We look at our inabilities. We look at our insufficiencies. And we say, we can't. It'll never happen. Because you know why? Because you know you. Paul's saying, wait, turn it around. Start to smile and start to say, "God, thank you. I'm weak, but you're strong." Amen. I don't have to rely on my. Here's what I'm going to glory in. I'm going to glory in my infirmities. Because I know you're for me, and what's going to happen is you're going to come, and here's what's going to happen. You know what? I'm going to take this rock, and I'm going to wing it around, and right at the precise. How many know? He had to let that rock go at the precise time. He had to let that thing go precise. You know, if you looked at Goliath's armor, there was really only one place that you could hit a guy, and that was right here. He had to let it go perfect. You think that was David? One David. Amen. See, he's not going out there and saying, "Let me tell you what, I'm a bad dude." He's not saying that. He's saying, let me tell you what. God was with me in the lion. God was with me in the bear. And God is going to be with me with this Philistine. See, and what's the thing? Oh, think about it. Think about it. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that David ran at Goliath. What's he running? You know what I mean? You ever go to a Dodger game and they're playing the Giants? You know what I mean? Or they're playing the team. I don't like the Padres. Sorry, if you're a Padre fan, I hate the Padres. They're playing their Padres. You know, listen, if the Padres hit a grand slam to win the game, I'm not like, yeah, well, at least it was a homer. You know, I'm not like that. You don't shout. You don't shout. You know what? You don't get excited to lose. No, he's running because he's excited to win. And now watch this. Has he won yet? Nope. But what is he doing? His running is an expression of gratefulness. Watch this. For what God is going to do. Are you learning something? Are you learning something? Okay. Look at your neighbor and say, you know what? Your words are really important. See, listen. The power that you have in, if you will just make a decision, you're going to start to become grateful. Grateful. My next point, point number two. First point is people grow strong by giving thanks. My second point is this. You know what? Thank God. When should you thank God? Okay, this is deep. Are you ready? Always. Everybody say always. Always. Thank God always. You know, Philippians 4:4. You know, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. And just so you, if you didn't get it, and again, I will say rejoice. Okay, really clear. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say rejoice. Now, I know that that's clear, but I want to bring some even more clarity in just going over some three areas where I know always is inclusive, but let's talk for a minute about different areas that it's important for you to rejoice in God. Number one, you know what? Give thanks to God for what he has done. For what he's done. That's what David did. It was like, see, here's the thing. Let me just ask you this. How many of you has God done something super? I'm not just like, oh, that was cool. I mean, something like you just were like, oh, that was a miracle. I mean, that was there's no way it could happen except God did it for you. Raise your hand if that's you. Okay. Raise your hand real hard. See, all over the room. You know what you got to do? You know, because here's what happens. You have things that are insurmountable, seemingly, that's good, seemingly insurmountable in front of you. And those things that are insurmountable seemingly to you, because they're right in front of you, it's such a helpful thing for you to go, because here's what happened. It intimidates you and you think, it ain't gonna happen. And you don't take advantage of the power of thanksgiving. You start using just the opposite. Instead of watering that seed, you start to put like complaining is like citric acid to that seed. It's gonna rot it. It's gonna corrupt it. It's gonna ruin it. It's gonna kill it. Is what it's gonna do. And what you need to do is you need to thank God. How can you thank God? Start looking back and seeing what God has done in your past. See, I didn't twist your many. And I made it. I talk about a miracle, supernatural. There's no way. And all kinds of you raise your hand. If all you did is just come on. See, because if you look at that, you will be and start saying, God, thank you for that time, and there was no way out. I had no way to make that car payment. I had no way to make that house payment. I had no way. I'd done something so foolish, you know what, to my wife that she had every reason to kick me out. But God, you know what, you just spoke to her heart. You know what, my husband should have, but you just spoke to his heart. You know what, financially, you know, there's no way. I just wasn't smart enough to invest in that stock, but I heard your spirit say to me, invest in that stock, and it went up, and whatever it was, whatever situation it was, you know what? It was God. You know it was supernatural. And what you need to do is just keep on saying, thank you, God, for that. Thank you, God, for that. And keep on looking at what he's done. Amen. Instead of being intimidated, because it's Satan's like, boo. You know what I mean? That's what Satan's like, boo. You know what I mean? I wish I had the clip right now. But, you know, it's a great clip when in Grinch, when you're like, you know what? He's like trying to scare that little girl. He's like, oh, you're terrified. And she's like, you got to have a timeout. You know what I mean? See, she's not intimidated. That's what you need to do. You need to just tell Satan he needs to have a timeout. Amen. But you need to not be intimidated by what Satan's got in front of you. And one of the ways you can do that is remember the supernatural thing that he just did. He just did that. Exactly. Write it down. Get a praise journal and start looking over. And as you look at the praises, all of a sudden you'll look at what's in front of you and you go, just like David, you go, and God's going to do the same thing to this guy. Are you learning something? Okay, always, but one, praise God, thank God for what he's done. Number two, thank God for what he's going to do. Thank God for what he's going to do. Again, David's running at him. You know what? When they are, he tells them to, go around the wall. Remember this? Go around the wall. And the seventh day, you know what? Do it like this and then shout. Okay, here's a question. When they shouted, the walls of Jericho, which, let me tell you what, these walls were so wide that they could have chariot races on the walls. How many know these are thick, protecting? How many know, were those walls, when they shouted, were those walls up or down? They're up. So what are they shouting for? They're shouting in anticipation for what God's going to do. They're thanking God. Watch this. Here's what the Bible says. Hope that is seen. You don't hope for what you see. So, I'm so hopeful. I wish we had a keyboard. I'd like to have a keyboard. I'm hopeful we have a keyboard. At some point, you'd be like, how many know I don't have to hope for a keyboard? Because it's there. But I do have to hope. I do have to hope for the outside foyer that we're going to build. And how am I going to water that seed? Here's what I want to see. I'm going to do exactly what I've asked you to do. And if Satan tries to discourage me, I'm going to come in here. I'm going to say, look at these lights. Yeah. You know what? Look at those doors. Yeah. Look at this air conditioning. Look at, you know what I mean? Look at the sound system. Look at the soundboard. Amen. Look at the drum. I'm going to start. And what it's going to do, I'm going to start to remember. And I'm going to say, you know what? The same God that provided this for us is the same God that's going to provide that for us. Amen. Are you learning something? You know what? Thank God for always. Thank God for what he's done. Thank God for what he's doing. And number three, when you're going through various trials. What you talk about, Willis? Listen, what's the Bible say? Look at James. Look what it says. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various. Everybody say various trials. Various. Now, how many know there are some trials that you can go through and you're like, I got this. You know what I mean? You're like, how many know you're cool with some trials? But how many would confess there's other trials that are way harder? See, some of you are cool with, you know what, financial trials, but then if you have family trials, that's a different thing. It's like, you know what I mean? Hello? Some of you have no problem with family trials, but financial trials, you're like, you know what I mean? There are certain things that just, you know what, freak you out. How many know what I'm talking about? And the Bible says, no, I understand. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to count it all joy no matter what the trial is. Various trials. Why? Because you know something. Watch this. Next verse. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Watch this. Next verse. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. What? Lacking what? See, why does Paul glory in infirmities? Because here's why. Because here's what he does. He glorifies God. See, listen. It's not you that are lacking. I mean, it's not you that are unlacking. How many know we lack all kinds of things?
But when we start to glorify God and thank God, here's what happens. Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. You're like, Paul, what is it? Are you weak or strong? He's saying, listen, because I won't glorify in myself, I give honor to God. I ascribe that God is powerful enough. And when I do that, then when I am weak, which is a lot, I'm strong. You know, the Bible says that God knows, that talks about in the Old Testament, that he knows that we are made from dust. God knows that. Did Jesus say it's good that I go? He did. He said it's good that I go, because here's what's going to happen, because I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit, the Helper. So you're thinking, God, I thank you. The helper lives inside me. You know what? Greater is he who is in me than what? Than he's in the world. So what are you doing? So you go watch this. Greater is he that he's in me than he's in the world. And what do? You start, thank you, God. Is somebody catching this? See, listen, and let me tell you what. This is such a key to you walking in victory. You've got to start to ascribe to the Lord that he is powerful and that he is for you. And if he is for you, who can be against you? And greater is he that's in you. Greater is he that's in you. Greater. Everybody say greater. Greater. It's not about you. It's about the greater one that lives inside of you. Amen. And so that's why Paul says, when I'm weak. What's he talking about? He's talking about the greater one inside him. How many catching this? Number one, you need to understand that people grow in strength by giving thanks. Number two, you need to understand that you need to thank God all the time. All the time. For what he's done in the past, for what he's going to do in the future, and even when you're in a trial. Even when you're going through something. You know what I mean? I mean, who cares? Really? You know, who cares you're going through the desert? Amen? You're going through the desert. Who cares? You know what? You ain't staying in the desert. Amen? You're going to Yosemite. Amen? And some people are like, I'm in the desert. Who cares you're in the desert? You're going to Yosemite. Who cares you're in Bakersfield? You're going to Yosemite. Amen? Do you understand? Let me illustrate my point. I'm looking at my iPhone. My iPhone, I get this weather report. You know what I mean? What's it gonna be like this week? So I look at it. It's like, it's gonna be hot Sunday. Hot, 90 degrees. Is that what I'm doing? Show it to me. I ain't doing that. You know what? It doesn't have there. But if you saw Sunday's report, 90 degrees in Pico Rivera today. So I'm looking at this. Guess, take a wild guess what I'm looking at. I'm looking at, well, yeah, 90 today, but look at what it's going to be tomorrow. It's going to be 88. And then Tuesday it's going to be what? 86. And Wednesday it's going to be what? 86 again. Thank you, Jesus. And Thursday it's going to be what? 84. And Friday is going to be what? Oh, man, I'm going to be cooling it. Ain't cooling it. See, here's the thing. Why focus on the fact that you're in Bakersfield when you're going to Yosemite? It doesn't even make any sense. Which is my third point. My third point is this, that you cannot, listen, you cannot thank God and complain at the same time. You just can't do it. You got to figure out what you're going to do. Here's how Jesus said it. Understand this. What you got to do is make the tree good. Here's how Jesus said it. Because here's what happened. If the tree is bad, this is deep, guess what's going to happen? The fruit's going to be bad. That's what Jesus said. So here's what he said. So here's what you need to do. Make the tree good. Because if you make the tree good, then what's going to happen? Fruit's going to be good. You're like, Pastor, what are you talking about? I need to get some fertilizer? Or what are you talking about? Okay, here's what I'm talking about.
Let me tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about the tree is representation of who you really are, or your heart. See, can I tell you what? You don't have a word problem. I mean, you do have a word problem, but you really have a heart problem. Can I tell you why? I love you guys. Am I smiling? Okay. Can I get real? Okay, thank you. I'm just saying, what if I followed you all week, this last week, not this week coming up, okay, but this last, what if I followed you all this last week with a little recorder? Okay, how much complaining would come out of your mouth? Now, watch it. Yeah, but it's 90 degrees today. It's 90 degrees. It's hot. It's hot. Shh. Listen. See, that, love you guys. That's how you are. That's the problem. You're so busy looking at how it is. You're so busy looking at how it is. You're that what you've done is you forgot to look at how big God is. See, you're looking at Paul. Remember, Paul says, I glory in my infirmities. Remember what God was trying to do. God is always trying to do this. Let me tell you what. God is the original. I'm for the underdog. So, what's the guy there were 300 men? Gideon. So Gideon, you know what? Gideon's got like, you know what, whatever he's got, 22,000 or something like that, or 32,000, you know what? And God takes, you know what, 22 away. And he was the underdog before it started. Now he's only got 10,000. And you know what he says to Gideon? You got too much. You got too much. You're like, no, but it is hot. My marriage is messed up. My finances are messed up. Listen, you're missing the point. Give thanks to God. Ascribe to him strength to fix your marriage. Ascribe to him strength to fix your finances. Ascribe, recognize God. Listen, with God, all things are possible. And start to thank God for him in advance. That's how you're going to get strong. And what's going to happen, you're going to thank you, God. Thank you, God, for my wife. Thank you, God, for my marriage. Thank you, God, for my husband. Thank you, God, for my kids. Yeah, but I don't care what's going on now. You know what? I don't care I'm in Bakersfield. You know what? I'm going to Yosemite. You understand? See, let me tell you about the people who cry about being in Bakersfield. They just keep on going around the block. Oh, I'm in Bakersfield. Oh, I'm in Bakersfield. Oh, I'm in Bakersfield. Oh, I'm in Bakersfield. And the same people. Oh, it's hot in Bakersfield. Oh, it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's hot. Amen. Well, turn on the air conditioning and get on the freeway and get out of Bakersfield. Amen? Amen. Okay. And if somebody's watching this from Periscope, you know what? I hope you're not from Bakersfield. Amen. How's your own like Bakersfield? Amen. Amen. Yeah. Listen, Mr. Lee's from Baker. Pastor Lee's from Hey, Pastor Lee, we love Bakersfield. Amen. We just love Yosemite better. Amen. Okay. Anyway, it's just an illustration, but you understand what I'm saying. See, and some of you, and the truth is, you ever been around somebody, and I'll close up with this. You ever been around somebody who's a complainer? You know what I mean? And maybe you're driving to Bakersfield. I've used this illustration before, but it's a great illustration because it really proves a point. Maybe you're driving to Bakersfield. You know what I mean? Maybe it is 90 degrees. Maybe it's 100 degrees. Maybe, watch this, maybe the air conditioning broke in the car. But I don't know about you, but that person who's like, huh, you know, and they start, and you're in Bakersfield, you're not even, you know, out of Los Angeles, and they're already going, it's hot, it's getting hotter, and it's hot, it's even the hot is hot, you know what I mean? And you're like, you're thinking, hey, could you just shut up? And you know what I mean? You're thinking that, right? Come on, say something. You're like, ooh, I know you think that. Amen. Don't look at me with that self righteousness. You're thinking, shut up. You know what I mean? But you're like, you're cool. You're like, well, let's just roll the window down. 2 minutes out there, rolling, yeah, but it's hot out there. That's making it hotter. You know what I mean? That hot, ooh, it's blowing in my face. I'm like, ah. Can I tell you what? The reason I say that is because we can all laugh, but you know what? That is just, ugh. How many know we can hear other people's complaining a mile away? But many times, you know what? We don't hear our own complaining. What I'm humbly suggesting to you is this what I'm teaching you today. Most of us have way underestimated the power of Thanksgiving, and we're not utilizing the thing that is right there at our hands, and God has showed it to us. He says to Joshua, Joshua, here's how I want you to see it. I want you to see that Jericho, that, again, listen to the words. I want you to see Jericho as I have given it. That's what he says. I have given it into your own hands. When God says that to Joshua, that wall was completely intact. But he says, Joshua, here's how I want you to see it. I want you to see it like it's already been given to you. Could you start to walk in the power of Thanksgiving and start to thank God for your imperfect mate? Could you? With all their imperfections and with all the jacked upness in your marriage, could you start giving God thanks for what he is doing in your spouse, even though your spouse still has a long way to go? Could you start to thank God for that? Could you start to thank God even in the debt that you're in, that you're going to get out of debt completely? Could you start to thank God for your kids who are, you know what, still smoking weed? You know what? You know what? They've just got their, you know what, third DUI, and you're like, ah, my kid is so stupid. But not say that. But just say, no. Just to start to see them and start to put your trust in the Lord and start to get your eyes off your own understanding and start to step into a spiritual realm, because here's what's going to happen. If you do that, you'll fix your heart. And when you fix your heart, and this is so interesting, because it's kind of like this either positive circle going up or positive circle going down. Because the more that you complain and are doubtful and murmur, then the unhealthier that plant gets. Here's the good news. Again, and I'll close with starting where I started. You know what? Abraham became strong in faith. He strengthened himself in giving glory to God. Okay. See, he didn't look and go, oh, this thing's helpless. He said, I don't care. I'm going to start focusing on the power of God. When you start focusing on the power of God, here's what will happen. You'll start to thank God for what he's done. And the day will happen. And here's what will happen. The day will happen. And that very thing, all of a sudden, you know what? You'll make your last payment, and you'll be completely out of debt. You know what I mean? You'll come in, and your wife, your husband, will wrap his arms around you and say, "Man, give you just a big smack on the lips and say, man, there's no one like you." But it'll be in a positive, okay? Right? You know what? Your kids, they'll come, and they'll be right here in the front row. And listen. And here's what you're going to say. Here's what you're going to say. But it's sincere. Here's what you're going to say. I knew that was going to happen. You say, I knew that was going to happen. How are you going to do it? Start to thank God now. Yeah, but I know. But the problem is, you've been complaining too much. So you're really creating your whole mess. And here's the good news. You can get out of your mess. Now, I said this in first service. Here's what I want you to do. if I ask you who needs to hear this message, I really, honest with you, think that everybody raised their hand. Okay, so, but here's what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying, here's what I'm asking. Start to listen to your mouth today. And every time you start to worry, don't say anything, but thank God for whatever it is, just whatever it is. Oh God, my boss, he said, Father, I thank you. I speak blessings to my boss. Bless your boss. Bless your boss. Start to speak blessings over him. Start to thank God for him. Every time you start to worry about it, no, God, I thank you for my kids. That call comes in. Yeah, now, just what Johnny did now. Hang up the phone. God, I thank you. I thank you for the message that you spoke to me. I thank you that I'm going to start to walk in the power of thanksgiving. And watch what will happen.
Interesting, because as I'm sitting over there listening to Pastor, I'm thinking of my own life, and that scripture comes to mind, and we all know these scriptures, we know them, that faith without works is dead. But we also think that we're people of faith, don't we? Like if you said, are you? Oh yeah. But if you can't, faith is something that's seen, and if you can't see it, then you have dead faith. And what struck me as he was speaking was just looking at my own life of these absolute, initially I called it exhilarating, just these exhilarating times with God. And let me tell you when they happened. They happened when I was in way over my head. Could not do it in my own. We say it like this, needed a miracle. But here's the interesting thing. Every day can be a miracle. That's what I've learned. Every day can be a miracle. Are you working your faith? Do you have your faith on something? Or when nothing's going wrong, we just chill and coast and call ourselves people of faith. But God, what I've learned is it is dependent on me. Is it a coincidence that when I do 1, 2, and 3, or A, B, and C as it was today, that's when I get miracles and God shows up? I can, and why in the world, if I've experienced that, why would I ever just kind of level out and coast? I'm sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, whenever I need God and I get on 1, 2, and 3, God shows up. But that says something about us, as in if we only, it just, you know what I'm saying? If we're only, you know what, nuzzling up when we need something, does that make sense? What if we nuzzled up to A, B, and C? Maybe even just something for the kingdom, something outside of ourself. Maybe just something, you know what, for a family member, something better. But we feel it when it's us. Do you get that? And so when it's us, we feel the pain and we just step out there really quick and we get on it. Even when, after we had experienced just an exhilarating time of God showing up, you know what, when we first came here, you know, and we renovated the building with no funds. We had $5,000, and I think we ended up spending $160,000. Well, where did the other $155,000 come from? Donations. donations, like miraculous, insane, crazy donations. So then we got in that comfort, you know what I mean? Because, you know, you could turn the faucets on and water would come out instead of nothing. And you could flush the toilets and you could come in and it was a fresh paint job. And we just got, you know what I mean? Chill. And then we were getting kind of crowded and we needed chairs. So then we said, oh, okay, God. So then we go back to God. Hey, God, the pews, like we got to get rid of the pews and we got to get the chairs. And we go back to God for that. And it was, see, after we had done this huge ride with God, all this stuff, and it was exhilarating. Can I just tell you something? You'll get closer to God than you ever have if you'll just put your faith out there on something. Just really begin to depend on Him. You begin to strengthen your relationship with Him and grow in a way that you've never experienced. But it's on you. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. We're the ones that have the A, B, and C. It's on us. He's there. But boy, as you're just speaking, I'm thinking, man, all the times. And what I connected the dots, it's when I was desperate for something. You know what? That's when A, B, and C. But I could live like that all the time. You understand this, right? And there's been moments where I have lived like that. But we just always seem to coast out. We shouldn't do that. We shouldn't do that. Because then we have dead faith. Trust me, we turned heads. Here's just this. If all you ever did was do A, B, and C concerning you and yours, if that's all you ever did, everyone around you notices. They all want to know what's up with her. I remember my girlfriend used to call Drew, we used to call him Drewby. We had a nickname for him. She said, Drewby is the luckiest guy that I've ever known. See, she wasn't a Christian. But let me tell you about his luck. His luck was that he was paying to go through Bible college and paying it for it himself. And he was going to a Bible college where you had to pay off a quarter before you could go to the next quarter. And so, he didn't have a place to live. And so he was trusting God and believing God for a place to live. And he was on a very, very limited budget. Lucky guy got a place just a couple blocks from the beach for $200 a month. All utilities paid. Lucky guy. Lucky guy? Or the guy who's saying, Father, I thank you. I know you're going to provide for me. Father, I thank you. You know my need. Father, I'm putting my tithe in. And you said that you'd open up the windows of heaven. Is it a lucky guy? Or is it a guy who knows A, B, and C? It was a guy who knew A, B, and C. And then even as this started coming into my life, you know what? I talked to someone one day, and they were tithing. And it shocked me that they were tithing. Because they were so negative about finances in the church. I said, whoa, when did you start to tithe? And you know what they said? Well, I see you and Drew. There's got to be something to this. Yes, there is, by the way. Yes. But it's more than just dropping your finances. It's dropping your finances and trusting your God. And just knowing that He's going to show up. Amen? Amen. Amen.